1-14. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 meters. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to anoint us all now with your Holy Spirit, to open our eyes that we may see your glory in our midst and all around us, and that you would set our hearts on fire with love for you again. This we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. We are standing on holy ground just now. Not so much because we are in church, but because the Holy Spirit of God is here, and because you, candidates about to be confirmed, are about to let him into the whole of your life and to be commissioned to follow Jesus as a disciple in his kingdom. And that is a pretty big deal. I'm sure you've given it a great deal of thought and prayer over the days and weeks and months leading up to this service. But all the same, in a few moments' time, I'm going to ask you directly, are you ready? Are you ready with your own mouth and from your own heart to profess your faith in Jesus Christ? And you will all say, "I am," which will be exactly the right answer, just the right answer for the occasion. But I'm sure that as you've gone deeper into your relationship with God, I'm sure you've begun to realize that he is a God of constant surprises, and that not one of us has grasped the whole truth of who he is But it takes a lifetime to live out this faith that we're called into. And so that question, are you ready, isn't there to find out if you know enough things to pass an exam, which is how confirmations used to be in the past. Confirmation isn't about head knowledge at all. And being confirmed doesn't depend on how many bits of the Bible you'd learned by heart, or if you can articulate a decent theology of the atonement, you'll be relieved to hear. It doesn't depend on how much you understand about how the way the Church of England works. I'm still trying to work that one out myself. But it is about declaring publicly that you are going to follow Jesus. And that is a lifelong thing, a lifelong learning. And believe me, you will be learning all your life. There is always more to discover, deeper to go, and higher to reach as well. Learning not just more about him, but actually more about who you are in his eyes. That's so important for each of us, remembering whose we are. And learning how to follow him in your work life, in your home life, in your leisure time, whether you're with us as God's people here in church or with friends and colleagues, and even when we are on our own and we think that no one is watching. Especially then, actually. And St. Paul says it takes discipline to live like this. He says that to get ready for this life, we need to be like an athlete in training. And we need to take this as seriously as a soldier preparing for battle, who puts on each piece of carefully polished, repaired, protective armour carefully, so no chinks or cracks are left where a sword or dagger can slip through and hurt you. And he's so right, isn't he? Being a Christian is both about the long haul, the marathon rather than the sprint, which is why it requires preparation and training and discipline of those who are running the London Marathon today will be finding out about now, perhaps, partway through it. And of course, the Christian faith can be a struggle, a battle against the principalities and powers, against this world too, which is why Jesus says that following him will demand everything of us. Everything. And in Luke's gospel, he says that we should only follow if we've thought it through, like the man who sat down to work out the cost of building the tower before he started the work. And in Matthew's gospel, he says we need to be ready to come as soon as the invitation arrives, even making sure that we have the right clothing to go to the wedding feast. All very different kinds of ways of being ready. So whilst intellectually none of us can ever be ready, we can never understand the infinite mysteries and grace and beauty of God, because there's always more to learn and to see, the heart of the matter actually is, this is a matter of the heart today. So when I ask you in a few moments' time, are you ready? What I'm really asking is your heart full to overflowing? Are you ready? Are you ready with your own mouth and from your own heart to affirm your faith, your trust in Jesus the Christ? Are you ready? Well, like Peter was ready. So ready, in fact, wasn't he, that he tried to walk across the sea to get to Jesus that night. So ready, he wanted to build 3 booths to stay on the mountain forever. And who was so ready that after he'd gone back to his old job in despair after the resurrection, wondering what it was all about, leaps into the sea as soon as he sees and recognizes Jesus on the seashore preparing barbecued fish for breakfast. Peter did those things because his heart was full to overflowing. And he would do anything, but anything, to show his Lord how much he loved him. So are you ready like that? Is your heart full to overflowing? Is it ready to burn with love for him? Don't worry if you're feeling a bit nervous. It doesn't feel quite as if your heart is burning within you this morning. It will come in waves, actually, if my experience is anything to go by. And don't worry if when it burns for a while, it fades again. That's perfectly natural. And God knows that anyway, and he never overwhelms us. He always comes gently, have you noticed? And respectfully and gradually. And he simply wants to be let in. Before coming here to be Bishop of Reading, my wife Janice and I spent 9 years in Ethiopia. And just by the gate of our compound, every day there was an old man who would come to beg. And we would go out and take him food or give him some money from time to time. And in Ethiopia, the Christians there would say that Jesus is like the beggar sitting at the gate, longing to be let in to your heart. And I want to tell you this, that he understands, but really understands, our reluctance and our feelings of unworthiness. And we all feel unworthy because none of us are worthy to win this by our own cleverness or anything else. All of this comes through grace in the end. And have you seen that the Bible is full of people who hesitated and were reluctant because they couldn't just believe that God could possibly want to use them? Moses, who said, "Who am I to go down to Egypt, Lord?" And Jeremiah, who said he was only a child and didn't know how to speak. And Isaiah, who said, "I'm a man of unclean lips." But God used them powerfully, and he will use you as well. When we went out to Ethiopia in 2002, I don't mind telling you, I was anxious. I'm not as ready as I thought in my pride that I really was, particularly as we left our family back here. And if I'd known that we would be there for 9 years, not the 3 years I was expecting when we went, I don't think I would have got on the aeroplane. And if I'd known when I was confirmed at the age of 12 at St. Andrew's, Bedford, that one day God might call me to be a bishop, I think I would have stayed in my pew. But God takes our unworthiness, the feeling we have that we are unworthy, and our hesitation and our fear, anxiety, and he transforms it and turns it into something extraordinary, something totally unexpected, something utterly beautiful for him. And I'm sure that you are each going to go on to do something extraordinary for God. So if in your head you only feel as if you're as ready as you ever will be, all we need to know is, are you ready in here? And God will do the rest. May God bless you. May God hold you, guard you, guide you, and keep you. And every day fill you with his joy and peace and love for him as you follow him faithfully. Amen.
Amen.
Could I please